Just look around and see who's seated next to you. Look past the person that you know and look at somebody and just wave at somebody you haven't met yet, one of your family members that you haven't met. You know, you do know, y'all do know you got the same father, right? The reasons I wanted you to do that, you just never know who you're sitting by. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, well, maybe a few people. I had the privilege last night of having supper with somebody who's just, they probably won't have a mic in their hand this week. Very humble, and they just eat their bread with quietness, and they're not here to make a show, or they just come to be with the family of God. You know, and you sit with them, and you break bread, and you begin to talk, and you find out that this youngster of 70 years old that I was having supper with has pioneered hundreds of orphanages in India. Hundreds. They're fully funded. They're all operational today, and he's fixing to go back over there at the young age of 70 because God needs hundreds more. And the other couple we were with, they're all about seeking glory, and they want mansions and swimming pools, and that's what the gospel is about. No, actually, they chose to live in a used motor home, kind of a Winnebago style thing, so that they can go wherever God tells them to go. And their job in the body of Christ is to pray for the ministries that God puts on their heart. And I said, "Well, how do you live?" He said, "Well, God feeds us." You're in the midst of champions. You yourself are more of a champion than the devil wants you to think. And I stand here and I look around this room and, the caliber, the quality of the ones I do know, teachers, pastors in the body of Christ, so your heart, there's no competition at all. There's absolutely no competition. I hate to start mentioning names because then I'm going to leave somebody out, God's been using so many voices. And what's amazing, we watch it in awe ourselves, that no matter who has the microphone, who has the servant, whoever has the next one, the message just blends as though we rehearsed it ahead of time. And in a way we did, but not consciously. But if we're doing our job right, we did sit down and counsel with the counselor and receive counsel from him, see. And I want to sort of apologize for two things. First off, I apologize that we only have so many opportunities, just a few opportunities to break bread this week. And there's so many of you that we would like to. And it's my loss that I don't get to. But boy, we'd like to. And the other thing is, I'm going to apologize to the. There's no competition, but what happens is, you'll hear a really good message. See, and I want to give them credit. As I was digesting, letting the Holy Spirit roll some things through me this morning, I was thinking, well, wait a minute. Now, Mark taught that. The other day I was preaching something that sounded so familiar to me. I was preaching it and I got home, I got to checking it out, and it was something I heard LaRue say 3 or 4 years ago. I was going, well, I knew it was good. But see, what happens is, it doesn't matter who, and of course we all could, Dave could come out and accuse us all of plagiarizing him. And of course we would accuse him of plagiarizing Paul. So what I'm saying is, we don't do it on purpose, but see, when Dave comes out and serves us that juicy, that T-bone, that steak, and it's wonderful, and he served it to us all right. But you know what? After I ate that thing, digested it. See, that became part of me. It's just bone of my bone. It's part of who I am now, and I can't help it if it comes out again. I'll give him credit if I think of it. You know, same with the rest of you, but... So we have to kind of apologize. But what's funny, there really is no competition. It's a family. It's absolutely a family. And really, I'll just be honest with you. Oh, by the way, you can be turning to Ezekiel 34. I'll be honest with you. Praying about this service. And people are always saying, now Gary, what all services are you going to teach? I have no idea if I'm going to do any of them. I just found out about this one, you know, last night. Although really the question everyone's been asking me this week is, when is my wife going to teach? I've had that question a lot more than the other one. She spoke for 3 minutes and captured everybody, you know. So we'll see about that. By the way, is there anyone here that was not here Sunday? Can I see your hands? Oh, do you guys like to get blessed? You like to get blessed? Come here, Sue. Come here, baby. I think your eyes need a blessing. This is my wife, Sue. Believe it or not, now we first met and my world got rocked. First time I laid my eyes on this creature in the summer between the 7th and the 8th grade. She's been putting up with me all this time. Think of the horror. This is my wife. Here, talk to him.
Well, again, I just welcome you all. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad we're here all at the same time on this path that God has put us on, and He intertwined our lives together. It's like our spouses, you know, these husbands and wives that He gives you to walk this path on this earth for this short time that we're here. And you learn to appreciate one another and allow His love to love that person through you.
It's always easy, right?
Oh, yes, it's so easy all the time. It's just as easy for both of us, too. I mean, He puts up with so much. And something I heard Tim say, that man, just anytime he opens his mouth, just wisdom comes out, you know. Leah's the same way. If you get a chance to sit and talk with them, let them do the talking. I mean, you can, and take notes or record it. But he said, all the things that you see in me that you like are the things I've let Jesus change. The things you don't see that you don't like, the things you see that you don't like are the things I haven't let Him work with yet. Things I haven't let Him do. And I'm trying a little at a time, but the flesh dies hard. But just thank you all. Enjoy each other's company in this time of fellowship while we're together. This is a reunion of family. So get as many people as you can. Take them out to eat. Go with people. Spend time with them. Talk about what the Lord is doing in your midst, wherever you're from. And pray for one another. So I'll see you later. That's it.
Hallelujah. Am I a blessed man or what? Everyone say, a long time ago, many years ago, when Gary was much less transformed. Now, let me tell you a story. I know this is hard for you to believe that I could ever get angry at such a lovely creature. One day, my righteous indignation, I mean, I don't know what it, I can't even remember what it was about, and it doesn't matter what it was about. But I got mad. Went out in my car, backed out of the driveway, and I was leaving the house, and I did it with a little, I got a V8, you know. Choo choo! You know, peeled out a little bit. Man, I was mad. And I got about a block away from the house, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and I heard Him in this tone of voice. He said to me, "You be careful how you speak to my daughter." Car went, eat. Hit the brakes. Turn around, go back to the house, come in. And I remember how I said it. I said, I don't know how I'm wrong. I just know that I am wrong, okay? And I apologize for my attitude. So I said that to say we're human, okay? We're normal. It's not easy, okay? We work hard at our marriage, don't we? And we're careful what we say. You got to be careful what you say. You can just get in a habit of being, is nasty too hard a word? Cruel? Say things to the one that you've took a vow before God, that I will love this one till the day I die. I took a vow before God. And if you're not careful, married people will say things to each other that they would never say to a total stranger. Someone they don't know at all, but you'd never be that mean to them. All right, well, back to, by the way, the Lord changed the message completely during the worship. So, you know, I bring if you see me with pages, I don't even know if I have them now. Usually what's on there is just like what's on this one. Got about 7 or 8 verses that were floating through my spirit this morning that we may or may not get to today or this week. But I've been praying too long to hear his voice and not obey him now. So he changed it a little bit, or the direction. I don't know how we're going to go exactly now. I just know where to start over here in Ezekiel. Yes, sir. Yes. See, more important than you receiving some great revelation at this conference is that you receive the revelation of the teacher. So you can have your own conference with God himself every day. If you learn how to do the message that we call the message that's come to maturity, if you learn how to do that, how to meditate the word, pray in the spirit, assimilate, worship, the whole thing. Listen, you've got a hotline to God. And it's by the agency of the new nature that's on the inside of you and the Holy Ghost, by one spirit you've been joined unto him. You can have your own conference all the time. But so really the fellowship and the contacts, I don't want to use that because people take that into networking. We're not talking about, for God's sake, if you're here with the idea of building your ministry by networking, we pray that you pray until that kind of spirit dies in you. In God's kingdom, there's only one way up, and that's the way down. The more you become his servant, the more he can exalt you to do greater things in his kingdom. You got that? So what he changed, I wasn't planning on going to Ezekiel 34 at all. But when Sue and I first walked through the doors of this church, we had already been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years, and we had done a lot of things, doing our best to serve God. We didn't know anything much about praying in other tongues, although we could. You know, we'd shandai along with everybody else at church, you know, and 5 or 10 minutes once in a while. But we had no idea the revelation that we learned later here, that there was benefit to spending long hours in prayer. But we had been involved in prison ministry for 6 years at our own expense. We would go and minister in the prisons that was kind of inherited by us from the man who led us to the Lord. And then we were, you know, various churches during that time, and we did Bible studies in different houses during that time. People got saved, people got healed, miracles would happen. But boy, that's just, there was always it seemed like everything was hard, and seemed like everything, there was a lack of fruitfulness, and we'd come to dead ends all the time. We just hit these dead ends, you know. And what it was, we loved God, we were full of zeal, we wanted to serve God, and we had some basic understanding of the word, but we really had no leadership. We didn't know how to tap into the Holy Ghost and find the leadership that comes by the Spirit. Well, we had gone through an experience at this one church, and God blessed them. I know he was doing his best. He wasn't trying to hurt us, you know. But that didn't... anyone ever get hurt in church? Are we the only ones, you know? And we got... and I know they didn't mean to do it, but that doesn't mean they didn't do it. And we got hurt pretty bad, and we wandered kind of in the wilderness for about 5 years now. The reason I'm bringing that up is a lot of people are like that. A lot of people have been hurt. A lot of what goes on today, and it seems like some the biggest ministries, the one you find on TV. Let's just read Ezekiel 34. Because the Lord had me in this passage for months, and I went over it with Tim in the early days before we really launched into ministry. The Lord would not let me out of this passage, and come to find out later, it was one of Tim's favorite passages that the Lord, a lot of Dave Roberson Ministries is from this very passage right here. And I don't think we're going to do the whole thing, but we're going to do enough where you get the flavor of it. See, this year the Lord said we're going to learn more about our Father. Learn more about what you see his heart for the sheep. You see his heart in this passage and what he intends for the shepherd. Now, when we say shepherd in modern day America, we all automatically think pastor, because, and we should, you know, the shepherd is the same word in the Greek as a pastor. But really, this is talking about anyone that's in ministry. If the Lord has entrusted a neighbor to you, and you're the one that is ministering to that neighbor, you're the one that God is using to feed that person, whether they be lost, whether they be brand new, born again, if you're the one just giving them the book, whatever it is, you're a minister, you're a shepherd. God is using you to touch people, and this is the heart of God for ministers. But he wasn't happy. You'll see he wasn't happy with what was going on in Israel at the time. And, you know, Peter prophesied that in the last days, there would be false teachers among us. One of the things they would do would make merchandise of the sheep. That's not just in our day. Look at this passage here. So the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, this is Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now notice this. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. What's the Father's heart? See him? Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. That was Sue and I. We felt like we had been driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field. Now, the type and shadow there, they become subject to devils. They got sick and couldn't get healed. They got depressed and couldn't get out of it. Some of them committed suicide, no doubt. They went bankrupt and because of false doctrines. And they became prey for devils. That's what the type and shadow is here, because of the false teaching. My flock became a meat to every beast of the field because there was no shepherd, and neither did my shepherds search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. If you're a part of this vision, God himself went searching for you. If you'll allow me, he's a fisherman, you know. He put a hook in your jaw. He snagged you with the truth. Can y'all understand snagged? He got you. Something wouldn't let you go, and you're still here. And even after the devil has been doing his best to beat your brains out for years, why don't you just be a nice Christian and go back to the first church? Something in you, he sought you out. There's something in you that says, I got to have truth. I can't live without it. I have to have it. He sought you out himself, and he brought you somewhere where you could get fed. Where somebody's not after your wool. They're after your heart. Verse 11 again, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to the conference, to their own land. And feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Now we could go on with this passage. He dealt with me for months before he even put us in the ministry. And the one thing that he put in my heart, and Sue's too, feed my flock. Feed my flock. See? Now in that vein, what's more important today than me giving you some great revelation? I want to tell you how you can receive revelations after you go home. How you can get these all the time if you don't know it. There is a wonderful thing called the internet. By the way of internet, and I'm just going to mention a few websites, and again, I hesitate to do this because I know that I'm going to leave some good ones out. Dave, let's start at the top. Dave Roberson, write these down. If you don't already know this, daveroberson.org. Every message that comes through the prayer center, virtually every message is on there. You can just see, well, I don't know how to do all that. I don't know how to do all that. Margaret, come here a moment, please. Let me get the microphone. Well, you know, I'm just too old to learn things like that. Gary, I'm too old now. I'm 60, or I'm 55, or I'm. Let's get over here where they can see how pretty you are. Come over here. You know, I'm too old to learn things like that, Brother Gary. Why don't you still have those cassette tapes? I like those cassette tapes. Now, Margaret, where do you live?
I live in North Carolina.
And you've already told us our age. Some of them weren't here to tell you again.
I'm 90. I was 90 in July.
Hallelujah.
No credit to me.
I know. But she flew here by herself on the airplane, takes the shuttle back and forth every day. From the hotel. But now, Margaret, how do you listen to the messages? Where do you go to first retrieve them?
Well, now I do it from the internet.
Okay.
But I started with Gary Carpenter.
We sent her whatever she needed first, you know.
I met him in, I guess, about 2005. And the Lord spoke to me while Dave was speaking. While he was speaking, the Lord was speaking to me. And he said, this is the man that's going to take you where you have always wanted to go.
That's the Lord.
And then I heard, of course, that he had free tapes. So I've got hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. But just 3 months ago, the Lord had a man sitting beside me when I was at the library. I can't do this all from home. I do have on a computer, but we have, antiquated service that I can't stay on it very long. So I go to the library, and this man that was sitting beside me told me, I can show you how to get a flash drive, and you can download everything and take it home and play it on your computer.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see now. 90 years old, goes to the library. Bronk, are you listening to this? Goes to the library, puts in a flash drive, gets on the internet, finds the website, downloads the MP3 files, takes them home, transfers them to her computer at home, and then listens to them there.
Praise the Lord.
I tell her, if I can do it, you can do it.
If I can do it, you all can do it. Anybody can do it if you've got a computer at all.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Margaret. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a hero of mine right there now. That's a youngster in a 90-year-old body right there. Glory to God. Now, see, I'm going to be 64 in January. I not only had to learn that, I had to learn how to put the stuff there for you. Now, get over yourself. Get over your cassette tape self. And really, you need to get over your CD self. They're going to be just as obsolete as cassettes within a year or so. You won't even be able to buy them anymore. Everything's going to be internet and downloads. Now, get with it. Now, if you live in an area where they have really poor internet service, like it's getting better now, but when I went to South Africa, all they had was still the old copper telephone wires. And boy, I mean, the internet was slow. If you tried to download an hour-long message, it'd take you 4 hours to download the thing. And plus, there was no such thing as a free telephone call. You couldn't call across the street without a line charge. So that's why, for people that have really poor, slow service, that's why the Lord said, I want you to make everything available for free and make it in a way that they can use it. So in our bookstore, in the complimentary section, you'll see these DVDs. Now, they're not already in a white folder, but I like this one. This is GCM All Series, Gary Carpenter. It has got every teaching series that I have at the internet are already on this DVD. They're in MP3 format. That way you don't have to sit there and download and download and download. They're already on here for you. Now, this is a DVD, but it's not the kind for you newbies. This is not really the kind for your TV. It's not a TV DVD, although on some of the newer ones it will work. But this is really, it's got MP3 format. You can just put this in your computer. If you don't know how to do this, there is a teenager on your block that knows how to do it. For $10, they'll just teach you anything you want to know. Or they'll do it for you, or whatever, okay? But you can have every teaching series that's at our website available. You can afford it. They're free. Now, I do ask that you don't take these and pass them out like tracts. Not because I don't care if you do that. I'm just saying go home and make them on your own computer. We just don't have enough of them here for you to take hundreds of them. But most computers, you can make your own, you know. So I don't know how. There is a teenager on your block that knows how to do this, okay? But this is available for you. So after the service, and if we run completely out, we'll try and run some more. Or you can just email, to the prayer center or Gary Carpenter Ministries, and we'll send you one or two or three or four if you don't know how to make them. Now, duplication is encouraged. See, that's, again, there's no competition. The idea for the prayer center and everybody here, the idea is to get the message out. You understand that? They are copyrighted. Why are they copyrighted? Don't change them. If you're welcome to give them free, but you're not welcome to change them. If you don't agree with the message, preach your own message and send it for free. Fair is fair. But it's more important. So let me recommend some websites. That's what I was going to start to do a while ago. DaveRoberson.org is one of them. Of course, GaryCarpenter.org is ours. Here we got Bronk Flint. Isn't it BronkFlint.org? Jim Martin's is J, the initial JMMGrace.com, I believe. JMMGrace.com. Charlie Rogers, CharlieRogers.org, if I'm not mistaken. Now, who am I leaving out? There's a... Alan Taylor dot what? Alan Taylor Ministries dot org. Then Ictus Media, spell Ictus, IKTUS net media.com. Ictus net media.com. Their website is kind of like the hub of a wheel with all these spokes going out. It's a place where you can find Bronk, you can find Gary, you can find Jim Martin, you can find Alan Taylor, you can find Charlie Rogers, you can find all of them. And Halo Jordan has a website, isn't that right? Now see, here we go again. Now, y'all do know he's not a pastor, right? Stand up, Red. Now he could be, but he just ain't. At least not yet. God might make him into one later. These people feed the flock. They'll pack up all that equipment, drive all the way to the Indian reservations out in New Mexico and Arizona, and preach to the Navajos. And I don't even want to tell you what the offerings are. You know, I mean, you don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm sure they're doing what they can out there. But what I'm saying is they're not in it for the money. They're out there to feed the flock. They've got the heart that God was talking about here, see? But they've got a website too. So, and there's probably there's many others that I'm not aware of. Through ictusnetmedia.com, that's a hub to all of them. Okay, so if you're only going to remember one, I'd say remember that one. But I want you to be fed all the time. Get the DVD if you don't have good internet service. But now, I hope you never forget Margaret, 90 years old. If I can do it, you can do it. You got that? We're going to retire those cassette duplicators, I'm telling you for sure. Put them in a museum where they belong. These are free. They're in the bookstore. Now, okay, we're going to introduce a little bit now. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a time of refreshing. What you're receiving by being here is more than just teaching. To be honest with you, you can receive the teaching at home. That's what we're talking about. But I tell people all the time, they say, well, I don't know if I'm going to come to that conference or not. You know, I can get all the messages. Yes, you can. But you know what you can't get? It's the fellowship. And you need to taste the atmosphere. There is an atmosphere of faith. There is an atmosphere of love. There's a presence of God. It's just, I'm not saying it can't come. Well, it can. I'll just go ahead and tell this little story. I'm obviously not on my agenda now anyway. Do y'all know what Skype is? Anyone know what Skype is? Skype is, if you have it on one computer and another person has it on their computer anywhere in the world, you can talk to them for free using Skype. And if they have a camera and you have a camera, you can actually see each other. We're finally caught up with Dick Tracy. Remember where he could do that? Well, so one time Dave just happened to be at my house, and I was showing him a few things about the computer. And just so happened at that time while he was there, I got a Skype call from Bronk. And I'm going, oh, this is too good to pass up. So here's Pastor Dave sitting right next to me. And I know that he expects me to answer and to see my face, so I moved the camera and the microphone. And here's Bronk expecting to see Gary. And when the answer comes, it's Pastor Dave. And Pastor Dave just started Hello. Do you know how he does, you know? Bronk, I'm going to let you tell it instead of me. Because what happened, it was more than just communication, wasn't it? Something else got transmitted besides the picture and the voice. Over the internet, what came? Here, stand up, talk to him. That presence that came in the room.
Well, we were just talking, and like Gary said, it was a total surprise. But it was amazing because Gary was, he was trying to show Dave something technical, but it was that once he started talking and once he started sharing, I can't even remember exactly what it was he was sharing, testimony or miracle or doctrine or whatever it was, but as he did, something began to envelop where he was at and where I was at, and as I can remember, it would just begin to break me down into a just kind of, you know, a weeping kind of mode. And presence came right through the internet and right through the Skype. So hallelujah to God.
Amen. Sue was saying all things were made by him and for him. See, the internet is not for pornography. The internet is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the day will come when anyone around the world, and I pray it comes quickly, that when Dave ministers, it'll be like he's in their living room. And the same presence that we feel here, they will feel there. Hallelujah. Don't resist technology. Yes. Run to it. Yes. You know what Paul would say? Paul, he had the verse. Okay, yes, Lord. He says, well, just read the verse. That's the very verse. Because he didn't have these kind of advantages that we have, he had to work like a crazy man. He labored. 1 Corinthians 15. This is one of the ones that Tim had in his message. 1 Corinthians 15:8. Paul is talking. He says, last of all, he, Jesus, was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now in Paul's day, what he's saying is, I worked harder than anybody, but really, really, it really wasn't me. It was God's grace in me that allowed me to do it, see. Well, I'll be honest with you, the websites and the way that they're set up is a product of doing the message. I remember when Sue and I first started now, we started a little Bible study, our first little ministry, the first little thing that we did for God after about 2 years of praying here and I was off the road. I wasn't driving trucks anymore. The first little thing we did was this little Bible study that we did in our home. And I got to be telling you, those were the days when finances were staying away from us in great abundance. I mean, I literally did not know where the next meal was coming from a lot of times, and neither did Sue. And here we'd have like 50 people coming for a Bible study. And I remember this one time in particular, you know, you people are coming. You want to entertain. You want to have something for them, you know. We had $5. We literally had $5. I said, here, baby, do what you can. So she goes to the Big Lots, I think it was, and got those ginger, they had big bag of ginger cookies. It was hard ginger snap cookies. It's not my favorite. And bags of tea. So we served ginger snaps and tea. We found out later you don't serve tea. It's too hard to clean off the carpet. Serve liquid, you know, clear liquids, 7-Up, Sprite, anyway. But, I mean, that's the way it was. And I on the inside, I'd be preaching faith. And God is your provider. And on the inside, I'm going, God, don't let them shut off the electricity till after the meeting. You know, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But we were learning in those early days lessons that would stand us in good stead later, you know. But we kept doing the message, and even then. But the reason I brought that up, like Dave said yesterday, You know, he was started looking for prosperity in the wrong places. But I was just starting on our journey of praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit had only done certain things of mortification and transformation in me at the time. My mind, I'm the head of the house. I'm constantly thinking, where's the money going to come from? Lord, how are you going to provide for us? How am I going to pay my bills? And no one else ever has those kind of thoughts. But I was having those kind of thoughts all the time. And he says, have a Bible study. And I'm going, okay. And he says, I want you to record every single message. In those days, it was cassette tapes. And I went, aha, that's probably the answer. Ministries sell their cassette tapes. That's probably how he's going to provide for us. We'll make these tapes and we'll duplicate them. And by the way, the first duplicator we had was high-speed duplicator. You hit this little button and it said high speed. That meant it did a 90-minute tape in 45 minutes. That's how we did the ministry for a long time. That's all we had. I mean, that thing was running constantly. How it kept from wearing out, I don't know. It was a God thing. But I'm thinking, that's probably it. Yeah, that's probably where the finances are going to come from. And right after that in prayer, I hear, oh, and make all of the tapes available for free. What? Then he said, well, you know, you're going to have these people come, and I want you to serve them the word. I said, well, maybe we could, you know, we're setting up a 501c3. We could probably do some offerings. Maybe that's how it's going to happen. Yeah, that's it. We'll probably do some offerings. And he says, take up no offerings from these people. Product of the message, okay? You know, you keep praying. Over time, I mean, Sue and I, we try and go back to those years. We can't make it work on paper. We don't know how we survived. We don't know how. He did supernatural things for us all the time. This one time, I didn't even have enough gas to leave the driveway hardly. I mean, I had less than a quarter of a tank. You know, it's between that an eighth and the big E. I mean, it's way down there. You know, you don't want to drive past the first gas station, okay? And I just knew not to leave the house. So I just praying in the backyard for about 2 days. I said, Lord, ball's in your court. As far as I know, we've obeyed you. I've done everything you said to do. I'm just going to walk this and pray and die right here. Felt like the children of Israel. Were there not enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out to the wilderness to die. And I'm going to pray and they're going to find my dead body in the backyard. And couldn't ever leave, you know. This couple drives up in the midst of that. And they said, you know, people are embarrassed a little bit. They don't want to come. Well, some people do want to. Yeah, thus saith the Lord, you know. But these couple was kind of embarrassed. And they're going, they, you know, when people got something on their mind and they don't really know how to get it across to you, they, how you been? Fine. Huh? How's your cat? Cat's good. How's your lawn? Finally, they got around to it. They said, we don't want to embarrass you or we don't want to. We feel really awkward, but we feel like God told us to let you use our gasoline credit card. Wow. And I'm going, you heard God. Yes, you heard God. Give me that. Now, they cautioned me, you know, they knew me better than you know me. And they're going, you know, don't be using it for other things, you know, we just, you know. But we're going to pay whatever gas you need. I said, well, how long can I use it? They said, well, I guess he'll tell us when to come back and get it. Do you love people like that? Boy, we were real careful with that card now. We needed everything. Bread. You know, at those gas stations, they sell bread. Bologna and all kinds of stuff. You got. Maybe LaRue will tell you his pizza story. Oh, okay. This one's okay. We'll just stay with this one. All right. Boy, we were real careful, though. We didn't use that card for anything but gasoline. I forget now. Do you remember? It was a year and a half, something like that before they ever come back and asked us for that card again. We were learning to trust him as our provider, see. One thing that he never changed, make every message free. People began asking for copies of the Bible study tapes. You know, I said, I remember the first one. I got two sisters. One lives in Wisconsin. The other one lives in Michigan, I think it is. And I said, well, I think they'd like to have copies of these. And so that was, I remember the first mailing that we ever did. I had to go buy a box. I have nothing to mail it in. I went and bought this little box that would fit a few cassettes. I put seven cassettes in each one, two boxes, seven cassettes. That was our first outreach. I remember how I got the tapes. I'll tell you this one, then I got to get on with it here. We're going to start our international worldwide tape mailing ministry. We had $10. Well, being a man of faith that I am, where do you think I went to buy my blanks? At that time, there was a place called Cassette Outlet that was right across the street and down about a block from Raina. That's where I went. Get tapes there, bless God. The guy in front of me was ordering, like, can I have 6,000 60-minute tapes? And can I have 10,000 90-minute tapes? And what's your price on 40,000, those kind of tapes? And I'm standing behind the guy. And they're writing this all up. Whoops at his card. He's gone. May I help you, sir? How many 90-minute tapes can I get for $10? She just went kind of, oh, like one of those. And called you to the ministry, did he? You got to get past all that. Well, that's how it started. We started mailing. At first, it was cassette tapes, and we mailed them for free by the tens of thousands, no exaggeration, for years. People, it's expensive to mail cassette tapes. I remember the overseas postage sometimes. In those days, it was roughly, by the time you figured in the cost of the tape and the cost of the label and the cost of the employee to duplicate and the depreciation on the duplicating machines, by the time you figured all that in, it came out to roughly $1 a tape. Actual expense. So if you sent a six tape set, the cost of that was about $6, plus the cost of the nice album. We put them in these nice little vinyl albums, you know, and that was like $3 by itself. So now you're talking $9. Then you got a printed label on the thing, you know, so you probably got at least $10 or $11 at least minimum in a six tape set that you're going to send to somebody. But see, sending one of those like to New Zealand or South Africa or any place like that, sometimes the postage for that same thing, the postage would be $20, $25 to send six tapes. You know? So now 25 plus, say, 10, you're talking $35 to send six messages, and we've got 2,000 of them to send. Or 3,000 or 4,000. In those days, it got at the peak of that, just the postage would run us $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Just the postage alone. And he never changed. He says, I want you to feed my flock. And I want you to feed them for free. Well, that went on for a long time. Years we did that. Then he began, I'll tell you this. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is a product of the ministry. What this is really about is hearing and obeying. See, every little thing, the way he told us to do it. And I'm not telling you to do anything the way we did it, except this one part. I want you to pray until you hear his instructions to you. And that's the only thing that's going to matter on judgment day anyway. If he called you to, if he called Red to do the Halo Jordan band thing, and that's their ministry, it won't do for Red to say, I'm going to be a pastor instead. You got to do what God calls you to do. Yeah, and you got to do it the way he told you to do it. Well, what I'm saying, so we were sending all these tapes, and then I still remember the discussion. What discussion? You pray and you pray and you pray, and the heavens are brass, and you think he's not even hearing you, and the devil tells you tongues isn't working, and you pray and you pray, and you're not hearing anything, and then all of a sudden, you began hearing. And he said to me, he asked me a question. He does that a lot of times. He'll ask you a question. He says, now, you wouldn't think this has anything to do with ministry. He said, when you run out of soda pop at the house, how do you replace it? Sue and I don't even drink soda pop, to be honest with you. We keep it at the house for guests. But I say, if we run out of soda pop, then we find out where it's on sale. And I'll get in the car, or me or Sue, and we'll drive to the store, get out of the car, get a cart, go into the store, find the soda pop we want, put it in the basket, go pay for it, go outside, take it out of the basket, put it in the trunk, drive to the house, take it out of the trunk, put it in the garage. I figured God knew all that. I didn't know why he was asking me. See? He says, that's kind of what's happening with the cassette tapes. Somebody in South Africa wants to hear a certain message, so they contact the ministry. If they send it by mail, you won't even know about that for about 7 or 8 days till the letter arrives. Then what you're going to have to do is put that into your computing system, and it'll be scheduled to go out. First, it has to be produced, and someone has to make those tapes and package it, and then get the label on it, get it ready. Somebody has to take it, pick it up, take it to the post office with the next batch. Then they're going to put the postage on it. It's going to sit in their bin for a while before it finally goes to the airplane that's going to take it overseas. That might be another 3 or 4 days. And then sometimes it has to go through customs when it gets there. We have to put these things on, these tags on there. And he says, by the time that, and then the person has to get notified and go usually to the post office, pick it up. He says, from the time that that person wanted to eat until the time they get to eat the food, by the time all that's done, he said it might be anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. He says, I want you. Oh, then he asked me another question after going through all that. He says, now, what do you do when you want a drink of water? Now, most people today say, I go buy a bottle. Sue and I are old school. I just get me a glass and I go to the sink. And I just turn on the tap and I just get the water and I take a drink. He said, that's the way I want your messages to be. He says, what you teach in the morning, I want heard in Zimbabwe that night. Well, I knew the only way possible for that was the internet. And at the time, we didn't know anything. I didn't even know anybody at the time that knew how to take those cassette messages and start converting them into whatever you have to. I didn't know any. And I would contact it a few places and everybody offered to help me for a price, which we had no money for that. So I became a great help file person. You know what I mean by the help file? That's where nobody wants to go. You buy the software and you say, I don't know. Oh, and you ever tried to read their little manuals that come with it? Yeah. Uh-huh. I also became a great fan of SoundForge for Dummies. MP3 files for Dummies. I'd go and buy those books and they'd dumb it down enough where I could kind of understand it, I want you to know, from the time I heard that instruction that day and I began learning and trial and error and working at it, and now it seems so simple, but at the time when you don't even know, you don't know anything about how to do it at all, it was difficult. Trial and error. No, I don't like how that sounds. No, that didn't work. I'm telling you, it was over 2 years. And Sue, if she could bear witness to this, I am a workaholic. When I get a project like that, now we're not talking no 8-hour day. That's for sissies. 14, 16, 8 hours, 18 hours a day. And it still took me 2 years to get that done. But see, I have friends now all over the world. I'm not saying we necessarily always have it available that night, but our goal is within 24 hours, whatever I speak, it is available on that internet within 24 hours. And if you live in Zimbabwe or Ireland, anywhere around the world, when you want a drink of water, all you got to do is go to the website and drink. Amen? Amen? Well, now it's going to become even more so than that as technology evolves and as the Lord merges media with finances. Because what's going to happen, it's going to be, you see the beginning of it here with the camera. Eventually, it's just going to be live. Jim Martin, they're already streaming their services live from their church, and they're archiving them. So if you can't be online right at that moment, maybe you have to work on Sunday, you can come in Sunday night and you can still enjoy that service. And the day's going to come when it's just going to be just like that. Now, why did I say all that to you? I mean, of all the things that the Holy Spirit could have chosen to talk about, I used my ministry only as an example. What matters is doing the message to the place you get to where you hear Him. That's only half the battle. Hearing Him is only the first half. Then you have to continue doing the message to be dead enough to obey Him. And I'm here to tell you, we had 1,000 opportunities and would have been justified by most people, even most Christians, 1,000 opportunities to have compromised His instructions anywhere along the way. But boy, when He says do it a certain way, He means do it that way. It may be hard. It's not always easy on the flesh. But obedience is better than sacrifice. There's no amount of offerings. You know, it's better than the fat of rams. There's no amount. You can't buy God off. Well, I'm not going to obey you. I'm just going to give you more money. He doesn't need your money. He needs children that will hear and obey. You're at the right place. You're at the right school. You're hearing the right messages. If you want to have adventures in God, do you? Those adventures are born in the prayer closet. You don't know what's in those tongues you're praying. He already said you don't know how to pray as you ought. How would have I have ever dreamed in those trucks? Just allow the boringness, the absolute boringness. You'd feel no anointing at all. Shanda bako, sanda la brostos, mandere, amjora. Surely I'm going to die. No. Then I was just, oh my God. And the devil's telling you nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. And the truth of the matter is, God Himself, God the Holy Ghost, who knows the mind of Christ for your life, He is praying up your plan. The plan God has for you, the one that's unique to you, you snowflake. What I mean is you're not like, no snowflake is like any other. No person is like any other. Your fingerprints are, nobody else matches you. And your calling, nobody else has got the exact calling on their life that you have. You pray those mysteries. You know what really happens is you pass the baton from you to Him. See, if we'll do that part, He can't do that part for you. He's not going to force you. But if you're willing to lay down your life enough on the altar, just let those tongues start coming out of your mouth. If you're faithful to do that, you pass the responsibility to Him. You think He's going to fail on His part. He says, you pray that plan. He'll take the responsibility for making sure you walk in that plan. At least know it enough to where you can choose to walk in it. He takes that responsibility. He's good at what He does. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.